Tradition 9. NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. In our white booklet, we read that NA is a non-profit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is NA as such, a simple fellowship using a non-professional, addict-to-addict approach to the disease of addiction. We are a fellowship, not a lobbying organization or a medical service or a chain of treatment facilities. We are non-professional. We have no rules, no fees, no governing bodies, and only one membership requirement, a desire to stop using. Our primary purpose is, quite simply, to carry the message. These are some of the traditional standards by which our groups may guide themselves, and our ultimate guiding authority is a higher power as it finds expression in the conscience of our members. That's NA as such, as we understand it. Our groups work as well as they do because they keep it simple, lest anything get in the way of carrying our message as simply and directly as possible, one addict to another. Yet for all its emphasis on keeping things simple, Tradition 9 is not an excuse for disorganized service work. Instead, it recognizes that our fellowship does require a certain degree of organization to fulfill its primary purpose. Rather than recommend that NA groups themselves become organized, the ninth tradition suggests that groups organize separate boards and committees to serve their needs. Just as we are non-professional, but may hire professionals to help us, so we are not organized, but may organize boards or committees to serve us. This arrangement ensures that NA, as such, maintains its uncluttered, direct approach to recovery while assuring our ability to fulfill service tasks requiring a certain amount of organization. Okay, so we may create service boards or committees. Now we must ask ourselves, why would we want to create such things? What are the needs these boards and committees would fulfill? To answer this question, let's look at how an NA group evolves, as we did when considering the seventh tradition. In the beginning, an area's first NA group only needs to gather its members together so they can help one another stay clean and carry their message to other addicts. As the group grows, it begins taking care of a variety of business related to its meetings, trying to ensure that the message is carried as effectively as possible. To maintain the focus of its recovery meetings, the group usually conducts its business meetings separately, keeping NA as such as simple as possible. As the group grows even larger, it often sprouts new groups. To maintain some of the unity and camaraderie that existed when there was only one group in the area, these groups elect representatives who meet periodically. These representatives share information with one another about how their individual groups are doing and help one another find solutions to problems one group or another may be having. From time to time, they may even organize a joint recovery meeting or social activity, gathering the entire NA community together. Sooner or later, the groups realize the potential they have in this committee of representatives. Through this committee, the groups can combine their guidance and resources so that each of them can function more effectively and all together can carry the message farther. The groups may ask their committee to buy bulk supplies of literature, making it easier for each group to procure NA books and pamphlets. The groups might ask their committee to compile a directory for distribution at meetings throughout the area, making it easier for addicts to find out where NA meetings are being held. The groups may ask that public information, hospitals and institutions, and phone line programs be set up, letting still suffering addicts who might not hear of NA by word of mouth know of the fellowship's existence and increasing general awareness of Narcotics Anonymous. The point is, the development of these services is based squarely on the group's needs. We create these boards and committees to serve us in fulfilling those needs. First, the groups define their needs. Then, they create the boards and committees which will serve them. Once created, how do we assure that our service boards and committees will remain directly responsible to those they serve? We do this, first and foremost, through consistent communication. Through their representatives, groups communicate with the boards and committees serving them. The groups provide regular information about their condition and their activities. They communicate their concerns, their needs, their ideas, and their wishes. This information helps our boards and committees better understand and serve the needs of the groups. Communication is a two-way street. Groups share information and guidance with the boards and committees serving them. Then these boards and committees report back to the groups to which they are responsible, describing their operations, discussions, and plans. Responsible service boards and committees consult the groups in matters directly affecting them and seek direction from the groups in matters not already covered by existing policy. By maintaining regular two-way communication between NA groups and the boards and committees serving them, we create an atmosphere of responsibility that serves our fellowship and its primary purpose well. Applying spiritual principles. Because the ninth tradition empowers the groups to establish a service structure, not a simple thing, many of us think of tradition nine as being very complex. In reality, the spiritual principles underlying this tradition are very simple. The ninth tradition focuses first not on the relationship between groups and service committees, but on NA as such. We are a fellowship of recovering addicts who help one another stay clean, nothing more. Whenever possible, organized service work should be kept distinct from the groups so that they can remain free to simply and directly fulfill our primary purpose, addict to addict. The boards and committees we do organize, we organize on the basis of need only, using the simplest guidelines possible. We organize them solely to serve us, not to establish a complex governing bureaucracy. The ninth tradition is far from complicated. In fact, it speaks throughout of simplicity. In the same way, tradition nine speaks of anonymity. When the ninth tradition exhorts NA as such never to become organized, it is telling us that we ought not create a governing hierarchy, a top-down bureaucracy dictating to our groups and members. As we noted in the second tradition, our leaders are not governors, but servants taking their directions from the collective conscience of those they serve. Our primary purpose, not the personalities of our trusted servants, is what defines NA as such. To reinforce the anonymity of Tradition 9, our groups, service boards, and committees practice various systems of rotating leadership so that no one personality ever dominates. Another principle implicit in the ninth tradition is the principle of humility. Each group, on its own, is somewhat limited in its ability to fulfill its primary purpose. It has only so many members, so much time, and so many dollars to use in carrying the message by itself. However, when a number of groups combine their resources by joining together to form a service board or committee, they enhance their ability to fulfill their primary purpose. Together, they become able to do what they could not do alone. The principle of humility also applies to the boards and committees spoken of in our ninth tradition. These boards and committees are established to serve only, not to govern. They are directly responsible to the groups and are always subject to the explicit direction of the groups. Although our service boards and committees may do much to help our groups fulfill their primary purpose, it is in the groups where NA, as such, comes to focus, not in the boards and committees that serve them. Prudence is one of the guiding principles behind the ninth tradition relationship between the groups and the boards or committees that serve them. Groups are responsible to consider their needs carefully, planning prudently before they create boards and committees. There is nothing that will complicate the simplicity of NA as such more than a needlessly elaborate array of committees, boards, and subcommittees. The group's responsibility does not end with the establishment of a board or committee to fulfill their service needs. In fact, that is only the beginning. As long as the committee remains active, the group should maintain familiarity with its affairs. The group should also provide continuing guidance to the committee. Our boards and committees cannot be held accountable to the groups they serve unless the groups play a responsible role in their service relationships. Finally, the ninth tradition speaks of fidelity. Narcotics Anonymous groups join together combining their resources to create service boards and committees that will help them better fulfill their primary purpose. Those boards and committees are not called to govern Narcotics Anonymous. They are called, rather, to faithfully execute the trust given them by the groups they serve. With a minimum of organization, our service boards and committees perform tasks on behalf of the groups, helping our groups remain free to do what they do best, simply and directly. Our fidelity to the Ninth Tradition assures that the simple, spontaneous atmosphere of recovery shared one addict to another in the NA group is never organized, legislated, or regulated out of existence.